Hey everyone, and welcome to the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler. I am joined today by Dunia Garcia, one of our content creators and co-hosts, and joining us as a guest co-host is Maria, one of our best friends from Insightful Base Podcast. Let's get this show on the road. Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, whoa. Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira no existen fronteras. No, no, whoa. Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento. Lo digo desde la Suiza, centroamericana, rebota en Colombia y en Dominicana y yo. All right, guys, Revolución is in full effect. If you haven't heard, we are fully launched. That's going to be fun. 30 days of Hispanic Heritage Month. Looking forward to that. I know that Maria, Dunia, you guys are all going to be there. It's going to be the fun times. All the cool kids are doing it.
Yes.
So in case you didn't know, in case you have never heard about it, 30 articles, 30 panels. Well, not 30 panels, 30 guest speakers, 12 panels, 15 actually, now that we've included our Know Your Rights seminar. So we're really, really ecstatic about that. More information coming up in the next upcoming weeks. Make sure you visit todowafi.com for more updates or any of our platforms, whether it's at todowafi, at something Latino, at something Latina. But we just had Mother's Day. Dunia, what was your Mother's Day like?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm a single mom and I have an 8 and 5-year-old. So, you know, it's not very active. But my friend, who's amazing, he opened up. It was really hot out here in the Pacific Northwest, and he opened up his pool and he's like, hey, come on over. I'm inviting a bunch of single moms over. So I'll, you know, pool my kids. I just have to watch them. Okay, cool. We went and had a bunch of friends there, and they were like giving us, they made us food. They like served us. Oh. It was amazing. So shouts out to him for making not just me, but a bunch of single moms feel really special.
What was the food like? Huh? Yeah, what was the food? Like, what they made?
They made
details.
Details. Okay, they made chicken and like salads and stuff, you know.
How do you not remember the food? That's so disrespectful.
Not disrespectful, because I was focused on other things, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So she got a different type of food. I get it. All right.
Okay.
But yeah, because like me, I know, like when I go to some place's house, I'm like, so, oh my God, there was corn on the cob. There was all kinds. Well, the steak was amazing. Somebody burned a hot dog, but other than that, it was
nobody burned anything. We had a great time, and my kids had life jackets. I was just chilling, getting the sun on, because we don't get it out here much in the Pacific Northwest, but it was like 90 degrees, so I was just
So it was like a great day altogether. That's amazing.
Yeah, so got treated like a princess, and honestly, just it sounds so cliche to say, but honestly, I don't take it for granted having my kids healthy and happy every year with me for Mother's Day, because I know friends that have lost children and it hits them on Mother's Day. So me, I'm like, I've had
more people who've lost their moms. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, but to me, I'm like, you know what? Every Mother's Day that my kids are next to me, happy and healthy, is the best Mother's Day. As cliche as that sounds, but it really is. And I think if you're a parent, you'd understand what that means when you've seen people lose their children. Yeah.
My mom is in Miami, so we don't really get to, we didn't get to really celebrate except for over the phone. You know, you do the regular phone call.
You didn't fly her out? Wow.
Slacking. Hey, what was I supposed to do? I can't, I am going to probably visit next month, so I'm going to just take her, because my mom was a single mom, so I'm just going to take her out for Father's Day.
But didn't you watch the Mother's premiere?
I did. I did. Yeah. But what does that have to do with So because I watched J-Lo's premiere, therefore I should have done, I mean, if that's the case, I should have bought my mom like guns and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you should have.
Well, I mean, nowadays.
Yeah, right.
Here in the USA. Yeah. I mean,
that's another subject for another. Oof. Yeah. Maria, what did you do? I mean, were you like by your mom, or is like,
oh, we usually double celebrate because my mom is Mexican. So for Mother's Day, Mexican Mother's Day is May 10th. So we had to like, yeah, double celebration. Super spoiled mom.
Yep. Double. She double dipped. That's really cool.
Yeah. She's a spoiled mom.
For Guatemala. So May 10th, I woke up and I was like, hey, kids, today's the day.
Like, so they're like, why am I doing this twice? Like, no. Yeah. Like, you get one. We either serve you breakfast in bed today or we do it next Sunday. Like, pick one. Yeah. You don't get two Christmases. So, I mean, unless they celebrate Tres Reyes, then that's a different story. Oh,
there you go. You know, I think Mexicans, we really love to celebrate.
I just think they like to drink. So, it's going to just
happen. También, yeah.
I have an excuse to party. We celebrate everything. Dominicans celebrate everything. Puerto Ricans and Dominicans. If you go to Puerto Rico, they have a whole thing for Los Tres Reyes. Oh, my goodness. Like, the whole streets are filled up and all kinds of, I mean, it's a whole ass celebration. Like, it's really cool. They take it to a whole new level. And yeah, I was at the mother premiere. That was actually really cool. So, you know,
that looked nice. That.
It, I'll tell you what, Netflix can put on a show. I mean, what they did for this, for Jennifer Lopez in this movie was absolutely insane. So if you saw the pictures, I mean, they had this whole mother thing going on the background for us to be able to stand. I felt like a superstar standing in front of that sign, and then the angle they took the picture on. But you know, the movie itself is pretty good. I mean, it's a J-Lo movie, so obviously it means that in this case it was as good as enough, 10 times better than all of her wedding movies. Okay. But it's still like a J-Lo movie. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you're not gonna get like Mission Impossible type vibes from it. You know what I'm saying?
Cancel the Latin Blabber Show today. Do you not know what J-Lo played? She played the iconic Selena. That's how she was known.
Okay. And well, I mean,
our gente, like, I mean,
this isn't what we're talking about, though. It's not like Selena was walking around with a machine gun and killing people.
So therefore, right? What is it that?
Okay, goodbye.
A chancla, right? Like, I'm gonna hit you with the chancla right now.
Look, I was there. I saw her give a speech. I saw her in the after. Like, it was a good. We were all hyped up in the movie theater. But you know, when you want to, it's like John Wick for women. What it was.
Okay. I wish this had like settings where you could throw little emojis. I would throw a chancla emoji at you right now.
I'm just being like completely truthful.
But that's nice, though. I mean, everybody has different opinions, and
it's true. This is,
I guess. I'm actually glad she's back to acting.
Did you guys see the movie?
I have not. I have not had time to sit down and watch a movie. I saw the trailer, and I mean, I'm actually happy that she's back to acting. I miss that. You know, I mean, she's great at singing, but I mean, I feel like she's a little better at acting. Okay, so I don't know.
I was excited that she went into action because I'm not a fan of her wedding movies. I'm just not, like, they just don't do it for me. But I'm like really excited that she did back. I think she's definitely an action type actress. I think that's like really cool. I think she should have done that a lot more in her career. So
yeah, probably.
Now when you take this movie, like obviously the production of it is different than the value of like a John Wick or all these things. So
of course.
The story starts off, you know, a little and then it gets little action packed and it gets like really cool. And you see her do some really good stuff. Cause keep in mind, you know, J-Lo's 50. So it's like what she's doing.
I look there, great.
Yeah, I mean, she looks amazing. She looked amazing in the speech and the premiere and all that stuff. It's amazing how amazing she looks. Let's just put it that way. Did you guys see Dune? Who saw Dune 1? Anybody seen Dune 1? I saw it and I fell asleep through most of it. And then after a while,
that's what I heard. That's why I gave up. I was like,
so I was laughing because I was actually reaching out to a friend because I told her, I'm like, oh, Cecilia, who used to be a part of our team. She's like, oh, I was just about to reach you because Dune 2 is coming out. And she knows it's a running joke for me. I can't stand the movie. But there was a meme out there that says Dune 2 is going to be released. And the best response for that was Dune 2 is going to be, it's going to begin right at the epic part that you fell asleep during Dune Part 1.
Wow.
I was laughing for days because that movie was so slow.
Was it?
Oh, it was. I mean, it was a disaster.
I'm the worst.
But it did so well in the awards. Like, I don't understand how.
Yeah, the cinematography and all of these things. But.
And they advertised the heck out of Zendaya, and she was like maybe like last parts of that Dune.
Yeah, because that's what I remember. I was like, I remember Zendaya.
You saw Timothy Chalamet, and he was, you know, throughout the whole movie, but she was like at the end. But she's supposed to be in the second one. This is like her big thing. So Becky G, I don't know if you guys heard. She got scared. She was in the airport in Mexico, and it was kind of a scary moment for her. I'm gonna play the clip.
Yeah,
you got to see this. It's really crazy. Okay, that's just crazy. That's paparazzi that gone wild. Like, what is
Mexico paparazzi?
You know, like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, they're intense. They're intense.
Did you see the dude who fell over for this shit? Like,
it was pick him up. They were just like, sorry, you're done.
The first one was the equipment falling over. They just ran over that. Then they ran over some other dude. She was dragged like a ball.
I love our people. I do. Miss Hip Boston. Like, that's a moment where I'm like, guys, come on now.
Like, till. Let's put it this way. If she didn't have the people who she had around her, like, you can see, you've seen in New York where Keanu Reeves and all the, they're just walking freely on the streets. And even in LA, there's, you know, videos of Ben Affleck and J-Lo walking on the street, and they just get annoyed because people are filming them. It's a whole ass different thing when you're walking through the airport and you literally have to be dragged through people in order to turn around and survive your way out of an airport.
Do you think that's because, one, Carol G is such a big Latina representation, and there's not, I mean, even J-Lo, she is Latina, but she's not as active in the community like Carol G is.
You mean Becky? This was Becky.
Becky G.
Don't want to confuse them.
Okay, but you know, like, Becky G is very much in the Latino community. And do you think that there's a lack of education probably in Mexico about like paparazzi, the do's and don'ts?
I don't know. I mean, Mexico gets a lot of celebrities.
They've always been like that.
There's a lot of celebrities that go through that airport.
Dang.
So I don't see how like it's not that uncommon.
Yeah.
Now I will agree with this. Becky G is probably a lot bigger internationally.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, you know, with the Latino community, like her connection. Yeah. And that's so bad to say, by the way, when you compare them like to J-Lo, because I think, you know, J-Lo is probably one of the most iconic women ever.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
But I see what you mean. Like, they have more, especially in Mexico, where that's where she's from, they have more of a connection with her. But that's scary. Like, she could have gotten hurt.
Yeah.
She could have gotten hurt. I don't understand how.
Maybe you should apply to be her next bodyguard.
I can't. I would be a total
and do the same pose.
I would just be sitting there looking at her like this for like an hours at a time. She would just think I'm weird. And I'd be like, I'm just next to Becky G and I'm just staring.
Yeah.
And then she'll probably hate me because, you know, we posted all the stuff.
Why would she hate that? I feel like that's for, you know, publicizing her and that her name, we get her name trending.
There you go. There you go. All right. We'll take that. All right. If you're a Facebook stalker,
dang it.
Beware. Dunia was stalking me for like 2 weeks and then it automatically friended me. So, according to Cyber News, and this has been confirmed, a 5-year-old Facebook glitch is sending automatic friend requests to Facebook profiles you visit, leaving some online stalkers or snoopers quite embarrassed. So if you've been checking out somebody for quite some time, it'll turn around and send them a friend request.
Is there a such thing as, like, I guess I am a stalker 100%, and I have no shame in it, which is like, is there a thing as like no shame stalker? Like, I want you to know I was stalking you.
I mean, do you want to have like a banner that goes around your picture that says that or something whenever you turn around? And
no shame. Like, yeah, my life. No shame.
I love it. She's being real right there.
It's like, you know how LinkedIn is when it has like that green thing that says, oh, hiring or
network?
And this is no shame stalker.
Yeah. No. You know why though? Because I have lots of clients. I have a lot of people bring my, no, listen, before you laugh, I have to protect my children. I have to protect myself. So before I meet up with you, guess what? I'm going to look you up, figure out everything, where you live, all these things. I'm a great Facebook stalker. So yeah, I have no shame. Yeah. I was looking you up. So what, buddy? Do you have something to hide?
Hmm? I mean, mm-hmm.
That's
I mean,
the right form of stalking. Like that's professional way of stalking.
I don't think that's what Facebook was talking about though. I think what Facebook was talking about is people who were like thirsty as hell and going after their profiles and looking them up and stuff like that. After a while, they would just friend request.
But the other way around, and again, it's like, oh, you were stalking me? How kind. What is it? Confirm or deny? What is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think there's a setting where you can turn around if your account is set to like everyone. I think that's where it does. It allows for that to take place. But other than that, yeah, I wouldn't be checking people's profiles that you're, you know, interested in or something like that, because after a while Facebook is just going to automatically glitch it and be like, hi, yo te quiero, and you know, click on that. So just think about it twice. I saw this the other day and I thought it was like really cute. So a dog in Portugal named Bobby, that's the dog's picture right there. First of all, who gave us this photoshopped ass picture right here? This thing looks pristine, like somebody was taking this with like a camcorder of extraordinary. Yeah, but this dog is 31 years old.
30, like in dog years or human
as
years?
In like human years. 31 years old. He's a purebred, was it a Rafiero de Alentejo, a breed that is native to Portugal. And yeah, Guinness World Books of Record. He is 31 years old, and yeah, not dog years. He is 31. Like, I think he's older than Maria, maybe. So
he's older than
me. No, dude, yeah, definitely is, older than Dudia. So he's yeah, older. He's not amazing. Older than me. So that's insane. 31 years old.
And that's
imagine too, keeping right? your companion that long.
Because isn't dog years like times 7? So 31 times.
Yeah, 10. Depending on the dog. Yeah, so he's like. I mean, technically, son como 200 algo, like 200 and something years old. Man, this guy's a Jedi.
It's like, what's the secret?
I want to know. This dog is living longer than I am. I'm definitely going to do that. That is insane.
They're like, what's the secret, doggy?
He's sitting there putting on lotion, smacking it on his face every day, you know, making sure his curt tail. All right, so we have a special guest. I'm going to go ahead and introduce her now. Our guest today is providing an alternative method to weight loss with an intragastric balloon. And you guys got to see the size of this. At first, I thought that I could actually like put it down my throat. I can't. It's actually really large. But we want to welcome to the show Dr. Katia Gastelum.
Hi. Hi.
So she knows because when we were sitting there in the waiting room and we were sitting there talking about, I'm like, I wanted to show these people how to, you know, put this thing in their mouth. And unfortunately, I didn't have the balloon. And then go ahead and show them the balloon. You have the balloon, right? Like, look at the size of this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm not shoving that down my throat.
You put that down.
No, we don't do this.
Like, she's going to explain it. She's gonna explain it. It's so
I'll
funny
explain
though.
It later.
Yeah. So, but I was thinking about it, and yeah, that's not gonna work for us. I mean, I could eat a sandwich, and it's almost that big, but I can't swallow it that big. That's insane.
Exactly. I don't know. You got to put your mind into it. It's all about mindset.
Yeah. We got to turn around and do that. All right, Dr. Katia. Let's see. We want to get to know you first, and then we're gonna talk about obesity in the Latino community. So what is your growing up story? Because I know that you were born in the U.S., but you were raised in Mexico. So first, you know, how did you guys end up back in Mexico?
Well, I was born in the U.S., but my parents, I think they noticed the Mexican school system was way better. And I think that was one of the most important things that they noticed. And that they want me to have English as a second language, not as a first, so I could be like very bilingual. And then I think they wanted to make me feel comfortable to being around my culture, right? And we are very family oriented, so that's why they wanted me to grow up with my whole family and to have that support.
So I have a question, because we talk about it a lot here. Do you guys celebrate some of the holidays that are being celebrated here that are Mexican holidays, like Cinco de Mayo and things like that? No, right?
Cinco de Mayo is not a
thing. It's only here.
We ask around all the people. There are people who are like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know any Mexican who celebrates Cinco de Mayo except for like Mexicans here in the United States.
Nobody knows about the Mexican Independence Day, which is 15th, 16th of September. That's like a big thing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we try to make it as big as possible. Like, we got Revolución. Revolución will definitely be highlighting Mexican Independence Day because it's one of those topics that we always try to confront because people think Cinco de Mayo is Independence Day and they have no clue
what they're
doing. So you went into the medical field. Were your parents like super supportive? Is that like what they wanted you to do, or you just kind of figured that out on your own?
Like, what parent wouldn't want their kid to be a doctor? Just right? Yeah, my parents were the most supportive. They weren't like rich or anything, but whatever, they could give me like support in any way, because there's a lot of sacrifices in the medical field. But most of them, like time consuming and not being able to be with your family for a lot of years. And some people ask me like, oh, do you remember the release of this movie? And I'm like, what? Like, some years I don't remember anything else than medical school. So yeah, it's
how long is it the same amount of time in Mexico as it is here in the United States to go for your doctorate and so forth, or like to get your PhD and so forth?
Basically, yeah, it is. In Mexico, it is 7, 8 years to be like a general practitioner, and then so on if you want to do like anything else. So it's about like 10 years approximately, and it's the same thing in the U.S.
Dang. Oh, I feel that's really awesome that your parents wanted to have you close to your culture, because I do feel like once we are here, sometimes there's a lot of people that do forget about their culture. And I think it's beautiful that your parents were like, no, you're not forgetting your culture.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, images and videos of graduations. And, you know, when they like hand the satchel off to their and hat to parents, and they're like, did you do that?
Well, actually, medical field, the doctor graduation is not like that. I don't know why. I always think about that. And when I was there, like, bummer, no, you're not having that graduation. We're in a robe, white robe, white dress, and that's it. We just receive a paper and that's it. So we have to wait what our parents ask, like, is it, I don't know, Latin or Mexican. It's like, mija, me vas a traer el título y lo voy a poner en la sala.
Exactly.
You don't get out of this house.
Yeah.
So they need the actual paper, the degree.
Right.
Wait, so the white, like just white, I mean, what is it, a graduation or a baptismal?
It's both at the same time, okay?
Yeah, the lab coat, like medical coat.
Oh, okay. Mm. Is it so? It's lab coats, or is it like the regular? Oh, yeah, okay, okay, okay. That makes sense.
With your name,
so I was formal. It's like super ready to go into the hospital already. Okay, yeah. You're done now. Go get to work.
Get out there, mind that right away. That's such a Latino way of life. Like you've already graduated. Like get your ass to work.
Have you guys seen Grey's Anatomy where they have their white lab coats?
Yes. If you're in the hospital, you have to have, like, if you're having scrubs or anything else, and then your lab coat, like, you're not permitted to get it off. So you're
off. Oh, my gosh.
And running around with the lab coat.
Is the lab coat kind of, is that what doctors wear? Is that what determines a doctor with a nurse over there?
I guess so. Like, well, sometimes nurses could wear one, but it's, like, a shorter one. Different kind of robe, but the long robe would be only doctors or students, medical students.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you had mentioned that you had a struggle as a female doctor, like Latinos are already underrepresented with that career, you know? So I'd like for you to share some of those obstacles. What were some obstacles that you bumped into? And I'm sorry if there's noise, guys. There's a thunderstorm in Texas right now. I don't know what's going on. So excuse the noise.
In her room. There's a thunderstorm in her room.
Yeah, literally. No, I have the window over there, and I just, like, it's crazy, but it's, go ahead.
It's raining in her room, so. Well,
I don't know if you guys know, but the medical field is very male-oriented.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of fields that are like that. So the struggle is there. It's everywhere about, you know, being a woman, you get kind of like the harassment in there. Some not to me directly, but I know like friends or coworkers that were like, you know, I got harassed and they were threatening me in a certain way. When you're like a medical student or you are in the internship in the hospital, they would threaten you like to get a punishment after your night shift. Like a punishment will be you staying more hours after your actual 36-hour shift. So
that's legal? Like you can actually do that over there? Well, 'cause I know here.
It shouldn't be. I don't know. If I was a lawyer, I would be like, this is not human. So in the US, I think the top one would be 12-hour shift.
Yeah,
you said number hours there? 36? Yes.
36 at least. If you don't get that's punished, insane. If you mess it up on something, they will add up hours. Like you will stay after this and no sleep.
Yeah, here it's 12. I think here is 12 hours. You get 12 hours shifts. And then after that, I think they have to regulate to make sure that you rest or at least get some time off before you can come back. Like, I don't know how you... That's insane. 36 hours would drive somebody nuts. Human,
and they ask you to be 100%, 110% of you. And you currently do mistakes. You make mistakes. They make you like do notes and you're writing some other things. Funny, but it's not good because you're dealing with people.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. Honestly, like the fact that's, and you would think that in their mind, they're like, well, you need to be rested to take care of others. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Take care of yourself so you can take care of others. So that just, that's interesting. But such a Latino thing to do is like, nah, work. There's no rest. What do you mean?
Yeah, no, work, like, work, work.
Yeah. With that being said, you know, you have seen the shifts in terms of representation of women in color in medicine, because, you know, there is a shift. What else do you believe needs to be done to continue driving that progress? Because it is a progress, but what do you, your personal experience, what do you think needs to be done to continue driving it?
For the women, Latino women to be in the field?
Yeah. We're just women in general, I think, and of color, in medicine.
I guess just not to listen to others, what they make you think you're worth or you can do or you can't do. And I don't know if there's some cultural background on that, on the decision making, you know, because like for Mexicans, as I know, I don't know, I can't speak for other cultures, Latina cultures, but they tell you like, if you want to have kids, you better hurry. Like you should marry and your career, your medical career is not that fast. Like other careers will be 4 years and that's good to go and you can work. But like here, at least 10 and more. And then you have to grow your business, and then you have to grow your partner, your kids, your everything. So it's like a lot to handle on the background there.
Yeah, I feel like that is very, I mean, I can't speak for other cultures other than Guatemala, but it's the same thing for Guatemalan women. It's like, oh, pues, you know, you have to be a wife and a mom and all these things. You can't be una mujer de carrera. And I'm just like, you know, actually you can be both. And I think that's, you are representing such a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing, and thank you for being one of those women and representing that. I feel honored to meet you, you know? And so thank you for that. Another question I had is, speaking of that, is how do you continue to take care of yourself while balancing? I mean, obviously, like after 36 hours, you said, how do you take care of yourself?
Like, well, that was during medical school, you know, like 36 hours is done.
But like, stay motivated and inspired and energized, because like you said, I can't imagine how much opinions you get thrown at you being a colored woman in the field. Like, how do you stay motivated? How do you ignore that?
Well, that is a very challenging topic. But I think the most important thing for me is trying to be 1% better every day.
Wow.
And you know, setting goals and trying to meet them. Don't setting like the long-term goal, just that, because it's way too frustrating. But the midterm goals and fulfill them, that will keep me motivated. But self-care, and I'm not talking about the skin. I'm talking about
inner self-care.
Inner self-care, yeah.
Like self-care all over in every aspect. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to do that like a few years ago. I started with like, okay, what I'm doing with myself. Like I'm just working and I'm not fulfilling other parts of my life, and everything is important. And you are, as a medical doctor, you're a leader. You're a leader to your community, your patients. So what are they going to think if you're not taking care of yourself? You look like, you know, like you haven't slept, or that you are not eating well. So you have to show them that there are limits to set in life, to bad stuff, and to bring in the positive things. Like, you know, the spa day is maybe in there, that you have to relax. You have to give something to yourself. Have to reward yourself for you to be able to feel good and to know that you're doing something for yourself, not for your loved ones, not for your hubby, not for your kids, because we all do that. Mm-hmm. But we forget about the most important person. That's us.
And how do you do that? Like, can you give us an example of one?
Oh, I told you, like, I have body. I have the emotional health with my therapist, which and that's the most important thing, I think, for everybody. And I stay close to my family. They support me a lot to my relationship. You know, like, they are a really strong part of my life that keeps me well balanced. Like, I try to go to parties, I attend social events, I go this and that, not only work, because that's not the point in life. You have to live life.
Did you ever have to set like limits? I'm sorry, I'm asking this because we all know like Mexican parents and Hispanic parents can be a little too much. And I can imagine being in medical school and all of the things that you have to do. So like, were there any times that you just had to set those limits?
Well, maybe when they wanted me to go or to do the same stuff that I did before medical school that I had time to. And now, like, you don't have me. You don't have me full time. Like, I can't. I'm sorry. Like, I'm right here right now. I can give you this, right?
Yeah.
But like I told you, with me, I'm so, like, blessed because my family was supportive and they were so good. Like, I couldn't have the best other family. This was the best one for me.
Oh, I love that.
That's a great answer. And I love that because one of the biggest things that we love is, like, you know, hearing stories about supportive families.
Yeah.
Especially, look, in this field, you know, obviously every family, like you said, wants their kid to be a doctor or a lawyer and so forth. We have, you know, people who we've heard amazing stories of support for people who are like actors and singers. And so shout out to supportive parents, because it's one of those things, yes. You know, do the best you can to let your kid grow and be able to expand what, you know, hopefully for the better from what, because I think every parent tries to sacrifice so that their kid can get that next level. So you're that next level, Doc.
Yes, she is. Yes.
Thank you.
How's that? All right. So let's talk about obesity in the Latino community.
Oh, yeah.
According to the CDC, approximately 44.8% of Latinos, you know, adults live with obesity, the second highest when compared to any other ethnic, racial, minority group. I think 42.2% of non-Hispanic white population. So roughly 3 out of 4 Latinos are overweight or obese in the United States. That is an insane statistic. Why do you feel that's the case?
Well, I think my personal thoughts that the change in our mindset, like what is important in life, like I think parenting has been shifting to the virtual side. Like kids are more not looking into what mommy's doing, into what daddy's doing, because they are in the tech, in the virtual world. So, and so as the parents, right? So we have to go back to where we all sat down in the same table and we're all eating the same thing. Not kids are gonna eat this. Like I remember, like when I was a kid, there was no special food for kids and for adults. Like you're eating this and that's all, right? So if we make like we change what our kids are eating, or we separate them from the whole family reunion at the table, which is like it's a blessing to have, and they will feel more secure in what they're eating. And not, you're not going to give them what they want, right? Because what they want is not what they need.
Yeah.
I wanted nuggets. Pizza. Dinosaur nuggets. Yeah. I would just devour them.
You robbed that thought from my, I had the dinosaur nuggets that I saw. I was like, oh my God.
I had a bowl. Look, I'm a big
guy. Bowl?
No, hold on a second. I'm what they consider clinically. I'm working on it, but yeah, I used to take a bowl of cereal, like a giant ass bowl of cereal. I mean, it was just my mom worked 2 jobs, man. We had shit to support us.
Yeah,
but it's difficult.
I was tearing up some Cheerios, putting some sugar on that sucker. I was just going
and
in.
Who noticed?
Living life.
I think.
She noticed after the cereal was gone after it. The sugar was gone and Cheerios was halfway after the first bite.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it is such a, just to chime in, I'm a mom and I have 2 kiddos and I'm learning, you know, all these things. And it's so funny because I was an obese child. I used to think I was so big. I was the biggest kid in 5th grade and I was tall, but I was also, you know, big. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't changed weight since 5th grade, so put it that way. But the thing was that at that time, my mom would always say, "Ay, que chula estás." And then when I started slimming down, my mom would be like, "Te vas a enfermar." And my daughter now, I have my daughter who, you know, she was 9 pounds, 15 ounces being born. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm 5 foot, 110 pounds. So they were like, "Ay, es una," like they almost see it as a blessing. It is, as a baby, I do see the benefits of having a chunky baby, because if they get sick, they stop eating. So there's benefits to it. But now she's 5 and she's slimming down. And my mom's like, "Ay, no, estás desnutrida. Ya no, la se va a enfermar." Like they see it and you know, they're like, "You don't feed her." And I'm like, "No, mom, I feed her." But, you know, it's a lack of education for the Latino parent. Of protein, of what is okay. Because for them, I feel like just explaining to my mom, the mindset is like, "Mom, I get that you're able to eat whatever you want in Guatemala." And that's a big part of it, is like, they walked
everywhere. Food is different. Yeah, the food is different, and they exercised everywhere.
They're walking everywhere. Here we're, you know, we take my, you know, Taco Bell's across the street, but I still take a car.
The fact that she owned up to that, and it's true, because when I was in the Dominican Republic, the big difference when I was growing up in the Dominican Republic, and even in our era, I'm older, so for me, like, we didn't, I mean, we were part of that Atari, but not everybody could afford it, like, that Atari generation, so we were forced to be out there to, like, play games and stuff
But, like, when I look at these statistics, it says in USA, right? And I get
In the USA.
Because when I go to Mexico, I went to Mexico for
vacation.
The portion sizes are complete. I'm like, where's the rest? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's America. That's such a big portion. We do not need that much food, let me tell you guys. But
it was in Dominican Republic, it was like that. We would have our three meals. It was very rare that we would have snacks or anything like that. And then when we weren't in front of a plate, we were outside playing baseball or something. It was just
It was just crazy. I just, like, it's just interesting to see the differences between U.S. and other Latin countries.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Dr. Katia. Like, what are some of the weight loss programs that you see that just hasn't seemed to work?
That hasn't seemed to work. Well, first of all, I would like to say which one works, which is the best one is balanced diet and exercise. Okay. That's the ideal. Right. We move all our patients to go through that. And then we explain that is the key to lose weight and maintain it. Okay. However, there's a lot of patients that will feel unmotivated when they're dieting and exercise and being like 2 weeks and I'm not looking at results. Right.
Yeah. So,
of course, like 2 weeks is so little to see results, but we feel that like anxiety to see changes and to have already something because we're putting a lot of sacrifice and effort to make a change that we want to see that result right away. So when you start to feel hopeless and that you're going back to that deep hole again of like not knowing where to go, who to ask, like what to do to lose weight. And you don't want surgery because you know about like the surgeries.
Yeah. I actually contemplated at one point. I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Like, why not?
Why didn't I want to do it? I just heard so many side effects. Like I didn't want to, first of all, I think one of the biggest things is like when they have the gastro bypass, the ones where they, you know, For me, like one of my biggest issues, I'm like, I'm addicted to food. Like there's a warrant out for my arrest for what I can do to a cheeseburger. But so for me, like having me get that surgery, I feel like it would be dangerous for somebody like me who's not mentally prepared to be able to deal with the ability of portion size and to be able to, like, I feel like I would cause more harm to myself trying to get that surgery, if that makes sense. And it's worked for quite a few people. And then I know some people who have gotten sick because of the fact that they just didn't mentally, they weren't prepared for what you have to go through. Cause it's an easy procedure from what they talk about, but it's a mental procedure. Like you have to train yourself that you're now, you know, your stomach is full. Okay. What do you do after that? Like if you're the type of person who expands your stomach with eating all kinds of stuff, like you could do some reputable harm with that type of procedure. So that's my biggest fear.
Exactly. If you have a surgery and you don't make a change, like you're not ready, you're not in the mindset, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So you have to be ready for it, ready for that change. So that's why a lot of people underwent the surgery. Any like gastric bypass, gastric sleeve, which is like the less cut, right? The gastric sleeve.
Yeah, the one where they fold.
The gastric bypass would be like the biggest one. I think, well, maybe they don't research or they don't ask the right questions, right? But those surgeries can be even life-threatening right? Yeah. And if you're not in that mindset that I talk about, that you want to make a change in your life, you want to reset what you were doing before that didn't help you out. So you get the surgery and then you didn't change what you were eating, you're going to go back again.
Yeah.
Really easy. Even maybe a few years after, like 1-2 years, you're back again. And some patients even more overweight than before the surgery. A lot of people that we, like a lot of our patients, everyone knows somebody that that this happened to them. So I don't know if you guys know somebody.
I know one person who had that. They kind of relapsed on that and it just didn't work out. But you have an alternative method. So you opened up an office, you have it called what is it, the intragastric balloon?
The intragastric
balloon. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Of course. Like, we are Baja Endoscopic and we specialize in the endoscopic weight loss. Okay. So this is no surgery at all, no cuts, no incisions, no nothing. And the intragastric balloon is, well, first of all, we need to know what endoscopy is. Endoscopy is the little tube that goes through your mouth and checks if you don't have ulcers in your stomach, bleeding, you know, tumors and everything. So we introduce a balloon, which is deflated balloon, deflated, not inflated.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I was ready to tear that balloon up. Just give it out. Like a bicocho, just nom, nom, nom. I was that hungry.
So it's deflated. So it's like a little raisin, you know, and it's thin without any liquid in. So you introduce it endoscopically. Once it is in the stomach, we start filling it with blue dyed saline, which is the same as the breast implants, the silicone rubber and the saline in it is the same thing. So it's very like not risky for the body. Okay. So this only takes a mild sedation with through IV. So you don't feel anything at all during the procedure. So you don't feel any pain going through your throat. Okay. And then the balloon stays 6 to 12 months in the stomach. It depends on when if you got your goals already at 6 months, we remove it at 6 months. If you want it for 12, remove it until the 12th month period. And that's it. That's tops, 12 months. You can reintroduce another balloon, but not the same one. Okay.
Okay. What does it do though? Like, what is that? What is the balloon itself?
Let me show you.
I'm excited. Like, she's showing balloons on the show.
Wait, this is a prototype. Wait, got carried in my ring. So this is silicone rubber. Look, it's really resistant. Okay, I can step on it. It won't.
Let's see. Break.
Yeah.
No, we cannot.
You know, but my punch.
She's gonna get on top of the table that she's using right now and then just step on the thing.
I might fall.
You should upload a video of that, of you stepping on it.
Yeah, I will. I will.
So no, she won't. She was saying, yeah, I will. Yeah, whatever.
I will.
Tag me. Be like, here you go, Dunya.
This is 400 cc's. 400, 450. Okay. So do you know how much CCs are in here? In the regular Costco?
12?
No, this is 500.
500. So it's about a bottle of water.
Less.
Less than a bottle of water. Yeah. So what does that do? It makes your stomach like feel more full. Yeah. Is that what?
So imagine this is going to be like in my stomach, right?
Oh, okay. So
this is my stomach. And then it's going to be in the middle of my stomach. Okay, here you go. So the place in between my fingers and the balloon is what you're going to be able to eat. So you tell me, are you going to lose weight? Are you going to eat less?
It's going to be one of those things where you still have to be, obviously you have to go through, you know, being mentally ready, but it's less it's less of a risk than if you're getting yourself cut in order to
exactly.
So you're reducing the space. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. So it reduces the first thing. It reduces the capacity of what you can eat. Okay. So only this between is yeah. the thing you can eat instead of the whole stomach. Okay. So the food will pass through my fingers in the balloon. So in the stomach layering really slowly. So you're going to have the food there and you're going to feel really
full longer.
Full. For a longer time
yeah.
than normal.
Very cool.
So imagine like 4 or 5 hours and you're going to feel like you just had your torta. Okay? So, no hunger.
Do they come in different sizes? Like can you get yeah. it like extra? Really?
No, you can make it different sizes. It can be up to 800, like double this.
Depending
really?
On the patient.
Oh, so depending on the patient, you guys fill it up with whatever you think
fill
is.
Fill it up more. Or less, okay?
Am I the only one who's just as excited about this shit as this? No.
Everybody is. All
I'm over here looking, I'm like, bro, I need a balloon. Can you, like,
but that's
me,
why
like, you know, 500 like, cc stack? Like, let's do this.
This is not new. This is not new. This has been for more than 10 years in the market. But the thing is, FDA just approved it in 2021. So okay. that's why we're pushing it out more.
For like, we have enough obese people. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. And like, let me tell you, like, there's billions of people, patients that are obese or overweight and want to make something, right? 1% is the percentage of patients, obese patients, that get a surgery. So what happens with the rest? Why is the other percentage not getting the surgery? Well, nobody wants surgery. I'm scared of the surgery. I want to look for my children. I'm a single mom. I'm a single parent. Yeah. I cannot undergo a surgery.
That's me.
So, yeah, like this is the last procedure.
Yeah, because we can't stop. Like, it's not like you can just, you know, get the surgery. That you have probably like a 6-week recovery time at least.
Exactly.
What is
you cannot miss work. So for okay. this, it's a 15-minute procedure. Right? You don't stay at the hospital, not even one night. You can go, it's an outpatient procedure. So you get it done. It's only about like 1-2 hours that you're going to be in the clinic. And then you just go home.
What's the average weight loss that you have seen in those 6 to 12 months?
Mm-hmm. The average is from 15 to 30% of your weight. Okay. But it'll depend on what's the extra weight on you?
Yeah.
So because if you have only 20 pounds extra of weight, you can use a balloon and just get those 10 kilos off of you really easy. You know, I have an event, I have the wedding, I have this or that, and I need those 10 extra kilos or 20 pounds off, use the balloon. We remove it. No surgically, anatomically altered stomach or anything.
It's
no
like,
risk of infections. I'm like, I'm sold.
It's like a break.
Okay, so I have a, it's going to sound funny, but how do you remove the balloon? I mean, does it go in or go out the same way it went in, or does it have to go out
exactly.
the other way?
Like, No. No, it goes out the same way it got in. So we just endoscopically take this little tube and we like take out the volume, take out the liquid.
Like a tampon. Sorry.
Okay. You see, now I'm not going to, I don't want to feel like I just.
Sorry.
I'm not. Down my throat. That was just like the worst example ever. She's not going to have any male clients now after that.
Sorry.
So, well, I was saying that it's less capacity, you know, so there's going to be less food in there. That means less calories. And then it's going to be more time in your stomach. So that's going to be less hungry. Okay. Yeah. No cravings, since we only have cravings when we're hungry, when we have that little space in our stomach that's saying, I have this chocolate here. Like I have this peppers, you know? So if we don't have that little space, our brain is going to say like, you're not hungry.
You're not hungry.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. So no cravings. That's the best thing. And then you're going to lose weight. Like even if you don't exercise, of course we encourage exercise to get the optimal results, but it's not needed. Okay.
Yeah.
So, then you will feel more energy, okay? By feeling more energy, you will see the results. You will feel motivated because after the second week, third week, you're already like looking a slimmer face, you know, and every time it starts in the face and then the body, and then you're going to be like, oh my gosh, my clothes are fitting like better. I love how I feel in my clothes. I love how I don't take any more pain medications because like obesity tends to get joint pain. You know, my knee hurts, my back hurts, and I have to take a lot of medications to soothe that pain. Or diabetics would be, I rarely take any medicine for diabetes. So we encourage that, like take medications out of your system by losing weight. It's not only to look better, but of course, looking better makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And like getting there out there socially, better jobs, and then you're gonna feel better in your clothes and without clothes.
And she said, "And without clothes." Whoa. If yeah, okay, interesting.
We got silence. What happened? All right, here we go. Go ahead. I have one question. We had Araceli. She asked it in Spanish. Se siente dolor molestar cuando introducen el globo en el estómago. So that it's, she's basically asking like when you place the balloon in your stomach.
Habla española, doctora.
No, I know that, but it's, I'm saying this for the people. You see, I'm translating it for the people who don't know what that means. You know, we have like 79% English speaking Latinos.
Okay.
She's basically asking does it hurt to have the balloon in your stomach? Like when it's introduced into your stomach, does it bother you or does it hurt?
Okay. When it's introduced, like zero pain. Okay. Remember you're mildly sedated. You're dreaming really nicely. Everybody gets like, oh my God, like I got really sedated. I didn't feel a thing. Like it's a balloon inside. And we're like, yeah, that's our signature. So you don't even remember what happened and you don't feel like you have it, right? But the first week, it's going to be the adjustment week that you're going to feel. Some people feel a percentage of side effects, right? It could be nausea. It could be a little bit vomiting. It could be some cramping because, you know, this is a foreign object in our body. So it wants to like get it out. No, so it starts like cramping. Like I want to get it out. So after the third day, you passed the test. All right. Yeah. So then the stomach and the balloon says, okay, we're going to be best buddies. So let's stick together. Right. And then you don't feel it. You just feel full because that's the whole purpose of it.
That's interesting.
Okay.
When you take it out, just use it as a stress reliever.
My God.
Gross. I feel like that's so amazing. And thank you for sharing. And again, thank you for being that representation for us, because as you know, representation matters. If people want to reach out to you for an appointment or follow your account, where would they go or have more questions? What is the best way or where can they go to contact you?
Yeah, we can definitely help them out. We have a website, which is Balloon Baja, like Baja California. .com, balloonbaja.com, they can follow us on our social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, with Baja Endoscopic.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So go follow her. Make sure that you visit our website too. Once you guys see this interview come out, it's www.todowafi.com. You'll be able to catch all of that information as well as her bio and, you know, a nice little picture of Dr. Katia. So Dunia is going to actually leave us because we're about to play a game.
I am. So I'm going to go just tell everybody.
She didn't want to lose. So she's bailing out because she knew she would have. She's terrible at this stuff. But we're going to play a game. The game is called Yo Sabo. All right. And it's brought to you by the Yo Sabo card game. And actually the game itself is going to be between Maria, Dr. Kat, and myself. What you have to do is I'm going to go ahead and mention some cards, and you have to mention the Spanish translation of it and see if you are correct. So there's three of us. So Maria, looks like you're going against Dr. Kat here. We'll see how you do. She's English second language, and you're Spanish, or you're English first. So there you go. You ready?
Let's do this.
Prueba time. This was just regular, you know, Latino type of stereotypical stuff. What is usually found in tin cookie boxes?
Or buttons.
Oh.
Right?
Close. I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Like button, a sewing kit.
There you go, sewing kit. So there you go. There you go. All right. Also, one for Maria. There you go. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. ¿Cómo se dice country in Spanish?
That's for me?
Yeah, both of you guys. You guys can scream it out.
País.
País. All right, so 1-1. All right, we're trying to go to 5 here. ¿Cómo se dice drinking straw?
Popote.
I can't believe she even got that.
I was thinking, is that even... Because Latinos say it so differently.
We say coffee, sorbeto. There's so many. Depending on what country you're from, you can say quite a few. The fact that she got popote was pretty good, though. All right. Let's see. We're going to go with ¿Cómo se dice hollow?
Hueco?
No. Damn.
She got really?
Right. Yeah. What?
My bilingual brain is like, it's not functioning.
Good. See, that's how she studied in Mexico. So there you go. All right. So 2-1 there, I think. ¿Cómo se dice? It's 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. I almost tried to make it even there. ¿Cómo se dice leash?
Correa.
Hey, there you go. Look at that. 3-2. Okay. Okay, the fact that you're holding your own is pretty impressive. all right. Let me see if I can get one that's kind of complicated, because if not, I'm not even going to give her this one. This is a medical term, so we're not going to go there.
Oh,
yeah, no, don't go there.
Yeah. ¿Cómo se dice stapler?
Engrapadora.
Damn, she got that long-ass word. 4-2.
Really?
Yeah, that's the word. Uh-huh. Engrapadora.
Grapa?
I was going to say grapadora.
The funny part is my Dominican ass was going to sit there and say staplador. A staple.
La stapler.
Right. La stapler.
La stapler.
La stapler. All right. ¿Cómo se dice? This is for the win. No.
Oh, Dr. my God.
This is for the win. ¿Cómo se dice password?
Contraseña.
Bro, how did you get the longer word? You could have just went with clave. She was like, contraseña.
I
got it right.
The most elaborate one. Yes.
I was thinking of clave.
Yeah, it wasn't didn't clave. Say it, though. She beat you. See, there you go. Maria got I'm shook, though, because she got the bigger ones. Engrapadora, contraseña. That's how you know. That's how you know.
Yeah, see, I would have
lost miserably. To Dr. Kat, I'm just letting you. And next time, I'm gonna have to get somebody else the cards, so that I can do that. But I don't. Nobody else has the cards, so I get to embarrass.
I do have them, but I can.
You do have them, but you can't find them.
Yeah,
I use them. Look, I'm gonna.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my Yosawa team.
Yeah,
I do.
So, but hey, Dr. Kat, thank you very much for joining us. This was really cool. We're going to be sharing all of your information on our Something Latina account, on our Todo Wafi account. You can go to our website, www.todowafi.com. You can also listen to this episode, if you didn't catch it live, on all of our podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify. You can go to YouTube. You can also go to Facebook. You search for it, you will find it. We are everywhere. So make sure that you follow us for our Revolución. It's coming out September 15th through October 15th. And make sure you get yourself one of those balloons.
Yeah.
And don't do what I was going to do, which is shove it down your throat full.
No, don't do that.
Try your best to make sure it's deflated before you do it. But seriously, make sure that, you know, if you're trying to find an alternative to weight loss and you've tried quite a few, you know, things, definitely check out Dr. Kat and her office and see if that is the right product for you.
Yeah. You know, if you're ready to make a change in your life, a jump start to a new and better quality of life. This is it.
All right, guys. I'm Rafael. That's Maria. That's Dr. Katia. And we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo el mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche Brasil y Argentina.
Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando en mi país.